Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 29th. We're going to spend some time in the last half hour of the program today talking with Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. We're going to be talking with him about a variety of subjects related to his work and the work of the other legislatures and the other branches of government in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about President Obama's first 100 days. That's an arbitrary milestone, but it is one that is nonetheless of, I guess, of some import because we kind of want to check the president's progress early on. We'll see what Congressman Shimkus has to say about that. Of course, the big news beyond the ongoing stories of the bailout swine flu is Arlen Specter's departure from the GOP. We'll also be talking a little bit about a hate crimes bill. It's H.R. 1913 that was very recently considered by the House of Representatives, and Congressman John Shimkus will join us for that. You can join us as well. We want your questions and your comments, your thoughts here as we talk with the congressman, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email your questions or comments to us. We get them right here in the studio, live, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. I almost forgot. There was, of course, the hearings and the afternoon confirmation of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. She resigned immediately as a governor of Kansas, where she had spent the last several years vetoing any kind of regulation that came across her desk regarding abortion. We'll also talk about that with Congressman Shimkus. Now, what's on your mind? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org, coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, the 29th of April. A great resource for you to consider as we go into the middle of this year. This year is quickly ticking by. A resource coming from Concordia Publishing House called the Lutheran Study Bible. And I know you've seen study Bibles come and go. They do tend to kind of come and go like the fads of Christianity. This one promises to endure. Why? Because its scholarship is solid, because its theological position is ancient to the very scriptures themselves, and because it not only offers great scholarship, a reliable text for study, but also devotional material that will wind its way into the very heart of your life and your family's life. It's called the Lutheran Study Bible. You can find out more about it by going to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and it's right there on the homepage, the Lutheran Study Bible, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask about the Lutheran Study Bible. You can even pre-order it. It's coming out in October. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or our homepage, issuesetc.org. You know that when the FDA decides at some point that this pill called the morning-after pill, or Plan B, should be available without prescription to 17-year-olds, we're watching a change in the culture of America. like we've never seen before. Many will attribute it simply to the election of a new president and the ascendancy of a new Congress and Senate. But it's more than that. These things are long in the works, and when they manifest themselves, they've been there for a while. We not only need to talk about that cultural change, but about the way that we try and reverse some of these trends, like federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. The Institutes for Health recently said, that's just fine. We'll give federal funding to all of those so-called extra embryos from in vitro fertilization clinics. How do we reverse these things? We'll also be talking about the swine flu. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. And we always invite your questions or comments for Congressman John Shimkus when we do a Washington update. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. What are some of the hot political issues for you, the hot button issues that are on your mind that you're scanning the news for? Now's your time to call in. Congressman Shimkus joins us to talk about all those things happening in Washington that affect us out here in the heartland. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Congressman Shimkus serves the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. John, welcome back.
It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Let's start out with H.R. 1913. I don't know any of the details of this, but apparently you guys were looking at some hate crimes legislation recently in the House. What is it?
Well, yeah, it just passed. The basic premise that we all struggle with is we know it's anytime you assault an individual, the criminal code should go after the individual who's assaulted the folks. Now, historically, law enforcement may have turned the other eye, and so hence there was a movement on hate crimes. But a lot of us say, if you punch someone, you ought to be held responsible and accountable by a court of law for assault, whether it is a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant or an African American or someone who have gender and issues. The law should be applied to everyone equally, not special treatment. So that's kind of the whole basis of the hate crime. The hate crime says no, these are when someone assaults someone and is based upon their ideology or their color of their skin or their association with same-sex interests, then it raises the bar and it should be treated differently. The additional concern is for the Christian community is, what effect does it have to pastors in the pulpit when they're preaching the Ten Commandments, a long gospel, right behavior, and if someone in the congregation then goes out and does something against a protected class, but that person says, well, you know, we learned that homosexuality is a sin. Is that church, is that pastor then held liable in the law for, in essence, preaching hate from the pulpit?
So this bill that passed the House, what would it do in a nutshell, Congressman Shimkus?
Well, it expands the definition of hate crimes and, again, talks about other folks who may have influenced that individual and treating a federal law enforcement in what's historically been state criminal code.
I notice at the end it says, nothing in this act shall be construed to prohibit the exercise of constitutionally protected free speech. Does that set your mind at ease?
Well, I think it's a cover-up for them because of the concerns that we have about what is preached from the pulpit and what what the societies say is right behavior, and what is God say through scriptures is right behavior, and then are individuals then held accountable for preaching again? For someone could say lay claim to what was said in the pulpit as really giving that individual a desire to do harmful behavior.
So would the bill
tough.
Would the bill penalize, for instance, a pastor in the scenario that you described talking about homosexuality as wrong behavior? Would it penalize a pastor for that?
Only, I think the jury is out of whether they would go back that far, but if the assailant, the person who committed the crime would proclaim that his behavior was influenced by the church, then I think that is left open to question.
So, how did you vote, and why? About one minute.
I voted no. I mean, for that very issue, and I also voted no because, as much as we hate it when criminality work has been done against anyone, the law should be applied equally to everyone, and there should not be protected classes in our society.
Congressman John Shimkus is our guest. We're getting a Washington update. When we come back, we'll talk about President Obama's first 100 days, the end of Arlen Specter's days in the GOP, the economic bailout, and we'll talk a bit about the confirmation hearings and the confirmation of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MY-IE. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 29th of April. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. What kind of questions do you have for Congressman Shimkus? Call or email us during this break. 10 more minutes on the other side. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Stay tuned. The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Villa in Finland is online. Villa, welcome to Issues Etc.
This thing about forgiveness, I think Jesus forgave on the cross, and so did Stephen, and this shows only that the Holy Spirit can do that. That was what I wanted to say.
Villa, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Finland.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Issues, etc. regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues, etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300. We're getting a brief Washington update with Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our email address is talkback@issuesetc.org and our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Congressman, your thoughts on President Barack Obama's first 100 days in office?
Well, my friends and I have been talking because everybody's, what's his grade, what's his grade? And one of the answers was, well, it's an L. And some people say, well, why a grade of an L? What's that mean? Liberal. I wish I could be more positive. I think a lot of my I talked to a Republican who actually voted for the president in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and you could tell they were very distraught because they really believed the advertisements. They believed that he would be a transformational leader, that he would bring us together, that he walk across, work across party lines, that he'd be fiscally conservative, and you know, turn the corner into a kind of this new era of a utopian government. Well, he's been anything but what he advertised himself to be. There's more spending, there's more indebtedness, there's no more taxation than any time in my 13 years of service here in Washington. This grab of power by the national government is very scary, and people need to be upset. Hence the Tea Parties. And the Tea Parties are a result of frustration by both parties on growing government, more taxation, and I think this is just a signal of things to come, and politicians will change if people speak out.
Well, speaking of politicians changing, this is an interesting one. Of course, Arlen Specter decided to depart the GOP. This email from Tom in San Angelo, Texas. As in a family, a marriage is broken long before the divorce officially takes place. Senator Specter broke his marriage with Republicans long ago. He made the divorce final yesterday. Your thoughts on Tom's observation there?
Well, I look at it as, woe be us when we're in any profession, when our longevity and the office that we have is more important than our relationships, our values. He tried to portray it as a very morally courageous move. Most of us view it as purely a political to stay in elected office, and it's unfortunate. He wasn't with us a lot of times anyway. But when you will jettison your values for personal power and to stay in office, he's probably better off in the other party.
How big a challenge is the swine flu? They're not calling it a pandemic yet, but people are awfully worried, especially since it has seemed to have caught hold south of the border. How big of a problem is it?
Well, not just south. I mean, we're having some cases now being looked at in Chicago and of course New York, and I am glad it's in this time of year versus the winter when we're now not going to be congregating as much as groups. It's something that we've always been fearful of and concerned of, and we just got to hope people use common sense, and if they feel sick, not to go out and expose themselves and seek treatment. This is passed by human contact. Through sneezing and sniffling and all those things that mom and doctors told us, you know, make sure that we don't do, which make sure we cover our mouth, make sure we wash our hands, and that's what people need to be doing.
Okay, you mentioned just a moment ago talking to one of your constituents from Mount Vernon, Illinois. What are some of the biggest issues that your constituents are bringing up with you?
Well, I think that this Tea Party movement is really wedded in I've seen it in big cities, but I tell you, in rural America, I think it's rarely very focused. Where in rural America, don't ask for a lot of special services. Don't expect a lot from government. Take care of themselves for the most part. And here is, they fear this redistribution of wealth taking from those who have and giving it to those who don't, but it's not as simple as that, because it's like on the mortgage crisis, keeping people in homes which they never could afford to begin with, used goofy tricks and shenanigans and actually the business to put them in homes that they couldn't afford. And then who's keeping them in these homes? Well, it's going to be the people who've always purchased within their means and have always made the payments addressed to them. People are concerned about government doing that. And then from the faith perspective is as government continues to take more of our income, it threatens our ability to do our responsibility to meet the needs of the church and the ministry.
That raises the issue of the bailout. How do you think that all of the various manifestations of the government bailout are playing now that many of them are well underway?
Well, I think the public's frustrated in that they're not really seeing any results. Now, being honest, we don't know where the economy would have been had we not done the bailout. I think it was wrong. I voted no. Government shouldn't intervene in the private sector. You let the capitalist system, those who invest, either win or lose. And if they lose, then they're held accountable. Government should have shouldn't be taking our tax dollars to prop up people's risky ventures. But having said that, we really don't know if it helped or hurt. All we do know is that the economy is in a malaise, and we're not seeing a turnaround. And in fact, the economy continues to stumble along slower and slower. So I think people are losing a lot of faith in the promised benefits of the stimulus, these bailouts, expansion of government. I think the public could be fairly forgiving if we did one thing, but we've done multitude of things, and it doesn't seem like we're prepared to stop spending money that we don't have.
John, gay marriage has been in the news with recent victories for its proponents in Iowa, Connecticut, Vermont. Can the federal government do anything to stem the tide against gay marriage?
Not under the congressional leadership and the executive branch that we have today. They're fully in support of this. We could move on a federal marriage amendment, which defines marriage between a man and a wife. I would be supportive of that. I think the fight has to go back to the states, and the states have to write into their constitution a definition of marriage. And every state has a different way of doing that. Courts are supposed to be there to defend the constitution. And so the issue would be changing the constitution to explicitly state the definition of marriage, and then state courts could not overrule that.
Okay. Are a firm believer in protecting the unborn. Were you disappointed in your Senate colleagues in the confirmation of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, the perhaps most pro-choice governor in the United States?
We get what we elect. How can you be surprised when you elect a president who is probably as egregious on the pro-abortion side as his secretary nominee? So when you elect a president, you get their choices. The Senate does have the responsibility to confirm. That's always hard to do. I'm glad they fought the good fight. But people have to understand that when you elect a president, you elect his team, and no one should be surprised that now you have, as you stated, I guess the most pro-abortion administrator of the Health and Human Services that we've ever had in our country's history.
Congressman John Shimkus serves the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. John, thank you so much for being our guest and giving us your time.
Not a problem. You take care.
You too. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss classical Christian worship. We talked earlier today about classical Christian education, which is venerable, time-tested, and has a certain weight to it because it has been time-tested and proven to be not only useful but virtuous in itself. We're going to talk about classical Christian worship with Pastor Bill Swirla tomorrow on the program. Then on Friday, we'll discuss Christian apologetics with Dr. Corey Moss. You know, there's an awful lot to concern the Christian citizen, and you might feel a bit discouraged when you have things like the pro-choice movement making its advances and in some ways pushing back the pro-life gains of the last 10 years. When you see gay marriage marching across the country into unexpected places like Iowa, as well as those expected places, it might be discouraging. But to remember that as a Christian, our task is not to change the world or even our country, but to serve our neighbor. Now, how do you do that? You do that in a way that has its broadest effect, even though you're only one person, your vote at the ballot box. Congressman Shimkus is right. We get what we elect. And when we elect people who hold these views, then we should not be surprised that those views tend to prevail among us. So one of the first places we exercise our service to our neighbor, the unborn, the elderly, even those with whom we disagree, like those who are active homosexuals, at the ballot box. And then every day in our vocation, serving our neighbor, each and every one of them, right there where God has put them in front of us. It's not only our duty as Americans, it's also our duty and our privilege as Christians. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.